SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Tuesday, race fans, Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964. If you're listening to Sirius XM online and at our website, stevebick.com, I was just reading minutes ago about these people that are stuck on the highway in Virginia. So if you're listening and you're in your car, you've been in your car for 18 hours. Unbelievable. The ice just absolutely. That happened. I lived in Charlotte. I know exactly what this is, you know, what the scenario is. Unbelievable. So I don't know if things have loosened up in the last hour or two, but wow, I just sort of. There was somebody on Twitter that tweeted from his car. He'd been in his car 16 hours. And that's when you absolutely have to have SiriusXM, right? and it's funny. There's people in other cars that they're tweeting to each other. There's some woman that said, "I'm me too. I got my two dogs. They're going car to car with food and water." It's crazy. When I lived in Charlotte, I'll tell you, you know, people are saying, "Oh, how could the Virginia transportation?" Let me tell you how. They don't have the equipment. They're not prepared for snow and ice like we are in the Northeast and you are in the, you know, in snow belt regions. They don't have the equipment. They don't have reserves of sand and salt, and that's not their arena. That's why they're, you know, how could they be caught off guard? Caught off guard? Well, what were they going to do? I mean, hand out snow tires and chains for people to put on their car? There's nothing you can do. I was working in Charlotte for Procter. There was an ice storm, and nothing moved for like 2 days. One of the reps that worked with me, John Brown, John was stuck in a hotel parking lot for like 36 hours. Nobody nobody's got tires that deal with that. Everybody, we went to Dallas. I went to Dallas for an Eagles playoff game, which was a fiasco, and it was unbelievably cold, and Dallas got an inch of snow and ice, and I've never seen anything like it. Cars ditched everywhere. I remember being unprepared in that stadium. That was the old Dallas Stadium. It didn't have gloves. It was bitter cold. And it was also a depressing, depressing trip, to Dallas. Yeah, we'll do that again. might have to consider that for 2 weeks, maybe. Anyway, I don't know why I launched into that direction. We've got a busy 3 hours. Well, let's say busy. It'll be a measured and steady, and it'll be the 3 hours. It'll be what we do here daily. Second half of the show, particularly a something of a roundtable discussion, and as I promised yesterday, wanted to get everybody caught up on the Christmas Eve news regarding HISA and the fact that USADA. Who had anticipated to be the contracted party as part of Heise's, I don't want to call it mission, but their involvement. And the fallout from it, which continues to be uncertain. So Alan Foreman will join us, as well as Chuck Simon. Chuck will be in the studio, which will be great. And Sid Fernando as well. To some degree, Alan is best equipped to provide the perspective of industry view, essentially, and how to digest and comprehend where things are as a result of the development 10 days ago. And what happens next? And there's been, as I said yesterday, the reaction that USADA was supposed to be the answer. USADA was never, at least the way the statute went into effect, it was never the answer. And the authority is HISA. USADA was a party to the execution of the authority's role. That's all. And whether it was a poorly messaged process that essentially the Jockey Club orchestrated for several years, that we have to have USADA, we have to have that's not the way not the way the thing was executed. And we'll let Alan frame what it means. And of course, all of this, can be changed by the legal action and the legal challenge that HBPA and a handful of states have brought forward that should get a hearing fairly soon. And we'll get that information from Eric Hamelbeck. Eric's been keeping everybody informed, and you heard, and Eric had to, you can't get too into the weeds on the details, and they don't necessarily know, when the courts will address it, but certainly the courts have been asked to, they know the timing involved, that Heise's, when the start date is mid-year this year. So Chuck will provide a horseman's perspective, and if you follow Chuck on Twitter and on the show and that he and Barry Spears do, and when they talk about it, and when Chuck has written about it. Chuck was out in front of so many of these issues for years and years and years, all the times you've listened to him with me. So we'll get Chuck's perspective, and then Sid, who offers also a kind of a horizon perspective over, years of involvement and, for the breeders and for the farms and what and then of course from a legal standpoint too, because Sid is exceedingly sharp when it comes to, and he had a lot of forward thinking reaction to HISA from the start. So round table in the second half of the show, and should be valuable in terms of understanding what comes next and where things go from here. Andy Serling is going to join us at 10. We'll catch up with Andy. And, of course, as mentioned yesterday with Rich, the start back in New York. I can't really call it the end. I mean, technically, it's the end of the year, and there was the force out and the amazing scenario that produced, you know, a New Year's Eve double carryover. When racing started back. So we'll talk to Andy and get his observations. He certainly was. It was, you know, during the Christmas break that Naira provided for everybody, which was welcome. So we'll catch up with Andy. And in this first hour this morning, I am simultaneously saddened and also at the same time appreciative and looking forward to talking to Dash Goff, who will join us in about 10 minutes to pay tribute to Bert Sonnier, who passed away apparently Saturday. And the word essentially came out on Monday. There was an obit in Blood Horse, and the first person I immediately thought of was Dash Goff in Hot Springs. And Dash, of course, his father campaigned no double, and then, you know, subsequently Dash and all the horses that the Goff family, you know, that went forward for years with Bert Sonnier. And Bert Sonnier, I guess retired around 2000, 2001 or two. And it is probably not known well enough, I'll put it that way. He had a tremendous training career, kind of the classic mid-American racing horseman. Detroit and Chicago, Louisiana. He's a Louisiana native, and Arkansas, and trained a lot of good horses, including, of course, as we'll discuss undoubtedly, No Double. And in fact, I bet Sid tomorrow. Sid will be back tomorrow with Sire Watch Pedigree Focus, brought to you by Hill and Dale. And there's so much to discuss with Sid, but certainly he could talk about No Home, who Dash Goff's father Gene imported from Europe. And, you know, bred No Double. It's quite a story, and that includes. I went to look in Champions because I wanted to, you know, particularly see the early part of No Double's career, and I know Dash is going to talk about it. He debuted for $7,500 at Hazel Park. And I'll let Dash tell the story, but in addition to No Double, Bert Sonnier trained Meadow Lake, and you want to talk about a horse that was mercurial, right? That's another one of these, you know, we just came off the flight line discussion. I hope you enjoyed David and Gordo. Really appreciated David. We didn't expect to spend close to an hour. But it was great, and John Sadler to start yesterday to discuss Flightline. Well, Meadow Lake was, you know, was one of those that was, you know, too fast for his own good. It had a Danzig like handful of starts. So There were others too. There were no shortage of nice steak horses that Bert Sonnier trained, and you know, for other clients beside the Goffs. I think his last I was trying to find his last grade one. His last grade one came in the early 90s. He won the Ashland in 93 with Lunar Spook with Shane Sellers. Lunar Spook. Who was she by? Silver Ghost. Out of Raphael Luna. That's a great name then. I love it. Lunar Spook. We'll talk and let Dash. And in addition, given Dash's big personality and what we talked about when we were in Hot Springs, we'll talk about, you know, the no double trophy collection I told you about at the hotel at Oaklawn. When you get to Oaklawn this year, you do not fail. I mean, I'm sure people are going to go into the casino and everything and into to see the hotel. You go down the escalator into the hotel lobby, and when you go take that left out off the escalator, or when you walk in the hotel lobby, right there under the escalator, in that wall, they created just this incredible display of no homes, no doubles trophies. It's amazing. So, in just a couple of minutes, Dash Goff will join us. Still have got, of course, countless weekend results to discuss. But one of the things that came up yesterday as well, feel badly for the Fradkins. They were bringing Rombauer back as a four-year-old, but his ankle that actually sidelined him last year flared up, and I'm sure in consultation with Michael McCarthy, made the call to retire Rombauer. So for the Fradkins, it was just such a magical ride, and to win the Preakness, and really, you know, John, a big, you know, the confidence to handle him the way they did and make that decision, and the way it paid off. So it's too bad, because they love going to the races. They love their horses, the classic winners or not. So I've become friendly with the Fradkins, and this was a thrill ride, undoubtedly. And you know, the timing is not ideal, obviously, in terms of, you know, having to start a stallion career. And then there's some interesting thoughts. I'll let Sid riff on this tomorrow too, as I mentioned, with the things he's got. We got quite a bit to do with Sid tomorrow, but you know, given his heritage, there's certainly going to be, and his, you know, his resume, there'll be opportunity for Rombauer. So we'll see how that unfolds. I will, you know what, Case, let's reach for Dash. I don't want to go off into, you know, into another direction. So take that. Let me make sure that that's, want to make sure that, because I do have a couple of different, numbers. Yeah, that should be good. To reach Dash. Yeah. All right. One thing that happened also while we were winding down the end of the broadcast season, and I didn't mention. I expected that. I hoped that we were going to get a conversation in with Marcus Hirsch. But if you didn't see this before Christmas, the IRB, the Illinois Racing Board, due to a 5-5 voting deadlock, voting would have required a majority for approval, essentially rejected CDI's plan and application for the off-track parlors in and around Chicagoland. So we'll see where that goes next time we talk to Marcus.
Good morning.
Oh, there he is. I was going to say, it sounds like we might have Dash. Dash Goff joins us. Dash, I like anyone, was really saddened to see the news. Saw it this morning. I didn't see it last night, but saw the news that Bert Sonnier had passed on the 26th, and word circulated yesterday, 84, and I thought of you immediately.
Well, he was like a brother to me, and he's been sick for a long time. That's sad to hear. But anyway, a lot of memories there, a lot of memories, good horses. And like I say, he was like a brother to me.
You know, I imagine that when you and I and Harry Rosenblum 4 or 5 years ago, we had before Arkansas Derby, we had a really fun conversation, and some of it may have come up at that time, but the conversation revolves around no doubles, certainly, going back to his career and your dad, who brought no home to this country and produced him, and the big horse, certainly, of Bert's career was no double, and there were plenty other good ones. He won over 1,500 races, but things start with no double, and I was shocked that he, when you say that he's a brother, he's only a couple of years older than you.
Well, this is true, but back when no double and Bert were running, no double was the number one in the family. Bert was number two, and I got Dave moved back to number three. But it was quite a story. And as said, Bert was a second trainer and was in Detroit, and Dad was trying to make No Home the second as a sire, and he shipped all these. We had 56 No Home two-year-olds in training at the farm, and they were making them all winners. And like I say, if they didn't win in Chicago, they were on the bus to Cahokie Downs. And Bert ended up with no double in Detroit and ran him in a $7,500 claiming race, and he won by about 13 lengths. David White had rode him, and David Whiting is still alive today. We'll tell the story. And from there on, he went to the Arkansas Derby and became the twice older horse of the year, leading the sire in the world in 81. And a 16th in the world in earnings. He won $846,000, which was a lot of money back then.
You mentioned the Hazel.
And went on, and he was a leading sire in the world with a 16 stakes horse, most any sire had ever had that year, and earnings over $2.5 million. Which was a record then, too, for Stallion in earnings. I think today, I saw what In the Mischief has won. I don't know,
wow.
$25-26 million this year. It's progeny. But they breed 200 horses these years, and we only bred 50 or 60. And that's a big difference in that.
And Dash, I mean, when you look at his career, and it started in 67. And he ran a bunch of times as a 2-year-old. one of the things about this, about the situation with Bert, essentially you were, you must have been in school, right? When
that's correct. I was over at Oklahoma University, and when he went in the Arkansas Derby, I wasn't even invited to go to the races back then. But that's the way it turned out. Now, you know, the real thing that people don't realize is today all these stakes are graded stakes, 1, 2, 3, and no double won 3 grade 1s, 5 grade 2s, 1 placer showed in 17 graded races. And, of course, that back then they didn't have the graded races, but he was quite a horse.
The Arkansas Derby win, that came with Billy McKeever, who had just
apprentice. He was an apprentice.
He hadn't even lost the bug.
No. He's an apprentice jockey.
Unbelievable. Why did No Double miss the Derby, the Kentucky Derby?
Back then, you had to nominate for the Derby back in January. And, of course, we didn't have any idea that he was that good a horse. And he was not nominated, not eligible to run the Derby, but he ran third in the Preakness that year.
Behind Forward Pass. And then it took until fall for him to kind of get his, get the mojo back when he went back to, in fact, he went back to Detroit, won the Michigan Mile in the eighth, won the Hawthorne Gold Cup, but then really took off as a 4-year-old and had, as an older horse,
Michigan Mile is the 5th or 2nd off track record, beat Damascus Horse of the Year in that race. Then he went on, he set a new track record in New York, set a new track record in Santa Anita, and equaled the track record in Chicago.
He won the big cap in 69, second in the Met to Arts and Letters in 69. Figueroa beat him in the Hollywood Gold Cup, but then he came back to New York and won the Brooklyn Handicap.
Metropolitan.
That was the next year, right? As a 5-year-old.
Right.
With George Tejera at the end of his career, rode him 6 of the last 7 starts in his career. Right. Talk about Bert through all of this, and you got to a few. You couldn't come to the Arkansas Derby, but you got to plenty of races later on.
Later on, and after Dad passed away in 74, he left 4 brood mares, and I got into it Well, I'm still in it pretty. I'm in it pretty heavy right now. But Bert trained all of my horses, and he had all these Louisiana boys working for him. His 2 main guys, one Kung Fu and the other was Willie Joe. Willie Joe was an exercise boy and all, and clipped the horse and would send you a bill for $100. Just send it to Willie Joe. I don't know if that's his real name or Willie Joe's all we ever knew back then. But they all came from South Louisiana. But they were good workers and good horse people, really good horse people.
Well, I mentioned earlier, when I mentioned you were going to come to visit and to pay tribute to Bert Sonnier, I guess it's because, he retired in the early aughts, but he is just completely underappreciated, Dash. He's not somebody that people know this era, and it's really unfair. He had a tremendous career.
Well, I think he's been in the nursing home maybe 10 years. I'm not sure exactly how long, but, in 10 years, people just forget who those people are. And it's a shame. And of course, I always tried to get No Double in the Hall of Fame, and I was hoping back then we could have gotten Bert up there, but that's never come about yet. So, but we'll keep working on it.
Well, and That's funny. Yesterday, it's funny that you bring that up, because yesterday, Rich Migliori talked about Billy Turner. We talked about Billy's career, and you know, the fact that he and Jean Kruger are neither have been added to the Hall, but certainly no doubles. You look at no doubles' career; it has merit on that front. Talk about Bert and that longevity, because it is a career that went through four decades: Chicago, Detroit, and then Louisiana and Arkansas. Basically, you had that classic.
Well, he trained at Gulfstream for a long, long time, but in Gulfstream Chicago, too? I think he was leading trainer two times in Chicago, and he won the Hawthorne Gold Cup back to back. No Double did. And then Bird had the horse Metal Lake that Metal only Lake. Ran three times and won $300,000. That was a really great horse he had and became a great sire. No Double became a great sire.
Yeah.
So. It's been a long road.
Yeah, to say the least. I hinted at the fact that he was very young when was your father the first to give him horses, or had he gone out on his own previously?
I think he's been in the horse business since he was 12 years old. He rode match races. His dad, I think, was a trainer down in South Louisiana, and he'd been around the horses. He obviously was training, I guess. How Dad and Bert got together, I'm not quite sure, but Dad had another trainer that had the better horses. And maybe he recommended giving Bert a few horses over in Detroit, trying to get some winners for No Home. No Home had 25 two-year-old winners, which set the record for a long, long time as the most two-year-old winners for any horse.
His daughter Sheila is married to Alex Solis.
Yes. And Alex Jr. is doing quite well as a bloodstock agent.
Very much so. Very much so. Sheila's widely quoted in the obit in Blood Horse, and I'm sure with this news there'll be more. There's much like with Billy Turner. There's not a lot of people in terms of. Certainly in terms of media coverage, to use as a resource, Dash, to kind of talk about careers and so to have you, essentially, gosh, I mean, you knew him, 60 years.
Oh yes, for a long, long time, and like I said, he's like a brother to me. But he trained all my horses back in there, lots of them. I had some other trainers. Bob Holtus is always. Bob Holtus broke a lot of my horses, and the guy that broke those horses, John Prather, is a good trainer at Oaklawn this year. But he broke all my horses, and he didn't learn under Bob Holtus. He learned under Bob's dad, Papa Holtus.
Sure.
Out the farm there, and he was out there since a young kid, breaking all those horses and everything, and now he's a trainer. And got some good horses.
Yeah, and Dash, from that on that standpoint, I mean, you had horses with Steve Hobby, I know, and Jimmy DeVito's got that nice Mojo Man,
yes. He was going to run Friday, and the race didn't go, and then I've got two horses with Don Von Hamel. Now, talking about an old horse trainer, Don Von Hamel's been there many, many years. And he's got my Arkansas breads. He goes to Remington and Indiana, and then DeVito's in Chicago, Chicago and Churchill. And Steve Hobby is Oakland and Kentucky. But They're all going. Oakland's really great. This long season's made Hot Springs a destination. It's really something.
On that topic, Dash Goff with us to pay tribute to Bert Sonnier, who died after Christmas, and word spread courtesy of the Blood Horse. And I told everybody when I was at Oaklawn for the opening that the trophy collection, when they gave us a tour, Rick Hammerly and I were given a tour of the new hotel, when they turned us around under that escalator, Dash, and said, you know, Dash Goff donated all of the no double trophies. I have gushed about it, Dash, repeatedly to people, that saying that it, when anybody goes to Oaklawn this year and subsequent years, they have to come see it. It was incredibly nice of you to donate that collection.
Well, I was so thankful that Lewis and Rochelle Sella did that for me, but it's a tribute to Arkansas, no double, and to the hotel. That hotel is just fine. I spent New Year's Eve there, so I wouldn't have to take a drive home. But the collection is really good. And Bert Sonnier won all those trophies back then. There's six of them that are 14 karat gold. They don't give trophies like that anymore.
No.
Of them, 14 gold. The Metropolitan, the Brooklyn, the Californian, Hawthorne Gold Cup back-to-back, the Arkansas Derby. The Michigan Miles got two big amethysts in there where we beat Damascus. I told Rochelle Sellers, I said, you ought to get those out and make earrings out of those. and then there's three gold plates, 14 karat gold plates from Santa Anita. And the Santa Anita handicaps in there.
It is.
Great races.
Well, it's incredible. And the one that I put up some pictures of him actually in December, and I'll do it again today. That trophy from DRC, from Detroit Racecourse, that Michigan Mile trophy is as remarkable. I've never really seen a trophy like that with the horseshoes.
Yeah, it's the horseshoes with the little silver roses on it and the two amethysts in there. That's a gorgeous trophy. That was really something. That was really nice. There's 46 trophies there.
Well, you know, we did have Mr. Sella on, and he made it sound like you know, that you buttonholed him and said you got to take these trophies, you got to do something with them. we got too many of them in the house.
Well, I've had them in my office, and you wonder what to do with them. I mean, they're great. Expensive. You know, they're gold and silver. The California 19 pounds of silver. But I didn't want them to get in a yard sale. But
no.
Mr. Sell was nice to take them, and I loaded them all up and took them to my condo in Hot Springs, and I had the coffee tables, the couch. I had trophies all over that room. And Lewis and Rochelle came there, and they were going to get five or six of No Devil's trophies and just put them around. They walked in, and they were floored. And I said, well, not all of these are No Devil trophies, you know. And they took them all, and they built that case for it, and it's a great display. I'm so proud of it.
Yeah, it came out great. I mean, normally the wall underneath a escalator is not going to have much use, but
anybody that checks in that hotel will see them.
Exactly. It's the way it sort of frames up the lobby. But Dash, I mean, that's appropriate in a lot of ways and of course the fact that he was an Arkansas bred, you know, that should also, you know, be noted here as a big part of it. But it Hot Springs, much like, you know, I live right by Saratoga. Hot Springs has such devotion to, you know, the sport and to the industry and to Oaklawn. It's really a perfect scenario and a perfect landing place for them.
I think I read in the paper that the money at Hot Springs bigger than Florida and California.
Oh yeah, no doubt, and Louisiana. It's been an amazing story. We recounted it for those that did not hear Mr. Sella in December. I'd recommend you listen, because we kind of went back through the, you know, through the history. And Dash, I mean, you're somebody that can really appreciate where those, you know, where that purse money went. I mean, considering that, you know, you and your family have been, you know, running for these purses, you know, your whole association with the game.
Yeah, since 1959, we brought the horse. My dad also raised the world champion Tennessee Walking Horse back in 44, 45, back in those days. And when he was 21, I got to ride him. It was quite a day I'll never forget. But anyway, he got into the horses in 59. We brought 41 horses from Australia.
What was his origin and interest at the time? How did he get involved in the game?
I think that the situation is this. I think that he made some money on the stock market in Australia. He was down there in the oil business, drilling oil, and didn't want to bring it in and pay taxes. So he bought all these horses, and at the last minute, bought enough home the second.
Unbelievable.
And brought him in.
That's unbelievable.
And that's a whole other story, too, for another day.
I do have to ask, because I don't know if I ever asked this. I don't remember if I asked it at the time with you and Harry. But Verna Lee, I'm going to guess was that your mom?
That was my mother.
That's what I figured.
That was my mother, and they named the farm Verna Lee Farm. And when I came to Arkansas, nobody really... They hadn't been here for 10 years, and nobody really knew the Verna Lee deal, and I dropped the Verna Lee farm name.
Well, it's...
And nobody associated it with me.
Well, it's still on the... It'll always be listed, at least with No Double on his listing, with the owner. And so from that standpoint, her name... You know, stays on, but those that see Dash Goff now on the owner and breeder line on a regular basis, Dash, I there was no way I wasn't gonna get you on. I figured nobody could pay tribute to Bert Sonnier the way you could, knowing what the family and your association with him and you know what he accomplished for the family.
Correct. Well, I appreciate you calling me and talking about it. He was one great individual and a great friend. And maybe we'll get together and talk about bringing the horses from Australia, how all that came about.
I'd be happy to. And I'm going to have Casey dig around for that visit we had. We'll dig that out of the archives, because we had the nicest time with you and Harry and with Harry Rosenblum. So we'll and some of this we talked about then, and I look forward to seeing you too when we get back. We'll be back to Oakland. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. All right. Dash, thanks so much.
Well, thank you for calling.
Dash Goff, everybody, and Bert Sonnier, 84, trained No Double, trained Meadow Lake. And there's plenty of story to tell about Meadow Lake as well. And as Dash mentioned, and I referenced Danzig, actually, and that's a very good parallel, really, because also three starts. And Meadow Lake 3-for-3, and I think the Arlington Washington Futurity was the stake win. So Bert Sonnier, and I'm sure you'll read more about Bert in coming days. So Billy Turner and Bert Sonnier, two different kinds of horsemen, but lifelong and with great careers. So appreciate Dash joining us today. And I will put up this picture that I've got. I mentioned that I bought off the internet, actually, and I'll put it up later. The Arkansas Derby win picture, which is really fun. And they still take that picture right in the same place, actually, at Oakland.
All right. I'll tell you what, if you'll send me, text me your mailing address, I'll send you a picture of him winning the No Devil winning the $7,500 claiming race.
Oh, that's, I would love that, Dash. Thank you. I will do that without fail.
Best claimer of all time.
I love it. Thanks, Dash.
All right. Thank you very much.
We'll see you next month, actually, just about 6-7 weeks. We'll be back at Oaklawn. Dash Goff, everybody. Nice to get Dash on this. And really, it's tough because there's just not, you know, I had the same trouble in thinking about yesterday when going into Monday. I was thinking, you know, who can I reach to report, you know, kind of on a reporting side, when it came to covering Seattle SLU and Billy Turner at the time. And, you know, you go to the Sports Illustrated archive, what do they call it? The SI, SI Now, SI Archive, whatever it is. And I use newspapers.com, which is wonderful. $75 every 6 months, but it is, if you like any kind of history, that obviously goes beyond just sports and racing, but if you've never seen it, you can get a trial at the very least. It's amazing, and I have so much fun. And frankly, I don't want to call it a time waster, but you go to newspapers.com and you put in some searches and forget it. I mean, not only do they give you maybe the article that you're looking for, or the region you're looking, but it picks up off the names you put in. And you know, you end up with wire service articles from other newspapers. And then when, you know, particularly if you're a sports fan and you go to the pages, and if you open it up and spread out, you see headlines that draw you. And it doesn't even have to be headlines. You know, sometimes you go, when it comes to racing, there's always, it might be on page one of the sports section, but then it goes to the Agate page with the statistics. And when you get, when you go to that page, there's baseball standings and batting averages, right? And so next thing you know, you're looking at the 70s, 60s, whatever era, whatever the story is that you're looking up. And forget it. You're lost. there's 3 hours gone. But it's fun. And I whenever I put these stories up, I take you can clip stuff out, and it's always fun and always gets a great, it always gets a great response. I know we've discussed it, but there's another thing that when I go to these sports pages, the cartoons, the sports cartoons, and of course Bill Gallo, and we've brought up Bill's father, who was a legendary sports cartoonist, and in New York, but you run into other sports cartoon and characterists that that were included Mullins, right? Mullins was another one that. And then there's you also get the. I don't know if it still runs. Does Gil Thorpe still run the remember the cartoon strip, the right the coach, Gil Thorpe. Sports cartoons, and I've said before that you know one thing that if somebody's got you know that kind of artistic bend, I mean Peb, obviously the Peb work is something everybody, right? We all grew up with. And continues actually through TDN, but you know all those racing forms that I put out a couple of months ago. All the covers that whole period of when the Triple Crown and Breeders' Cup issues, you know, were always. Peb artwork. And there was the poster. There was the very cool poster that Peb did for Saratoga. I think I've got a copy of that. Was that, I don't know if it was for the, was it for the 150th anniversary? Of Saratoga, I think it was, which is now what, 3-4 years ago, 5 years, more than that maybe. Anyway, the I'll take that out. I'm sure somebody would love it. I know I've got one that's been rolled up in a tube forever, with the intention of. My Tina won't let me. She won't let me frame anything else. there's no more wall space. She has declared that I can't. No more Travers posters. I probably have 7 or 8 that I'd like to get framed, she says no. Those opportunities, that's it. Well, plus you get, you know, then you get wind pictures, right? You get the, I do have like this picture that I bought. I bought this Arkansas Derby wind photo off of eBay. I think after meeting Dash. Which is I'll look that up. I'm going to give it to Casey to find that, because we had a terrific discussion with Dash and Harry Rosenblum, just talking, you know, about the Goff's family and No Double in particular. So. I appreciate Dash, and I thank Ron Moquette, who got me the number to reach Dash. That was Bert Sonnier. A couple of minutes to the top of the hour here, and Andy's going to join us. Andy Serling next. See if I can't clear off a couple more pieces. Tomorrow, Nick Tamaro and Frank Hopp from Sam Houston Race Park. The first few cards are ready for your perusal and ready for you to start handicapping and getting ready for SHRP. Looks good. Looks very good. And Nick, I know Nick's been... He's been practicing his race calls to get in as quickly as possible into mid-season form. calling. Listen, if he can call quarter horse races, he can call them in much more leisurely thoroughbred races without a problem. There it is. Here's opening day. Opening day is Thursday, 4 o'clock Central, 5 Eastern. Gets the action going. And I know Friday and Saturday were drawn as well. And let me see how far along the rest of the, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, first three cards are set. I only looked at Thursday, but we're gonna do plenty of handicapping with Nick. You know, maybe slip in some spot plays as well. And of course, their big day comes early in the meet. Comes the weekend of NHC, which is a little frustrating. Won't get to see Nick at Vegas. In fact, just looking at the calendar, go to Vegas 3 weeks from today. It's going to be very different. We should get an update too before the end of the week. I'll get updated on the NHC front and get you the final some of the dwindling opportunities to get lined up to go to Vegas. All right. Very good. All right. Head to the top of the hour. And Andy Serling, when we come back, 10:30. Turn it over a little bit to Alan Foreman and Chuck and Sid Fernando, kind of a roundtable on the fallout from Heisa and USADA not going forward together. The start of Heisa's administration as horse racing's managing authority. So, the second half of the show. Back after this, Andy Serling.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
There's a great story to tell in Pennsylvania. Only three states have produced more Breeders' Cup champions, and no state can match our performance in recent years. Since 2016, our numbers of mares bred has skyrocketed, unlike the national trend. And this year's live foal report shows Pennsylvania up over 50%. Why? Our incentives and bonuses are the best in North America. Please visit us at PABred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Bleeder Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
Horseville.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Sirius XM Sports presents